We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind Podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. It's Wednesday, it's June 23rd, it's 2021, and we have seven baseball games to talk about here on today's slate. I'm joined by my buddy, Blenderhead, Jordan Cooper. What's happening, my friend?
Congratulations on 1,000 episodes, with this being the 1,001st episode, and I'm on it. You know, it's just downhill from here.
Yeah, I scheduled you for this podcast because I figured you'd have something witty to say like that, and I felt like it'd be perfect.
Well, you had Grant on, you had Will on. The only thing that you didn't have was Drunk Siege. That would have made it better.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know? Was that episode deleted?
I don't know what episode you're talking about. There wasn't a podcast that day. What are you talking about?
There wasn't. Oh, okay. I guess I'm mistaken.
Thank you. Fun day, a lot of premium members, you know, awarded, and a lot of fun, a lot of great messages. I had a few people reach out to me and like tell me how like the Morning Grind has changed their life, and I was like, oh, it's awesome. So it was a fun day. Like, yeah, we move on though, because that's what we do now. The goal is 10 years. Like, I'm past five now. The goal is 10 years. I don't care about how many episodes anymore. Now the goal is 10 years. So but now we're got a 7-game baseball slate. It is, it's something. I don't know if I have more than that, but it's something. So we're going to break it down, talk about it. There's like a 6-game early slate as well. I know you do the, pregame show in the mornings, 11 o'clock Eastern, right?
Yeah. I'm not sure if we're going to talk about it because that early slate, I mean, like what there's like, three games that are at like 340, 407, yeah. 410. We're not going to have the starting lineups for those. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I guess maybe if I always answer questions in the YouTube chat. A lot of times the pregame show could be, you know, we review, we look forward, I answer questions. So as long as you're in the YouTube chat, if you want to talk about anything, we talk about MMA, soccer, you know, anything, NBA, anything going on. So it's really guided by the viewers. So if you tune in, 11 in the morning Eastern on YouTube, free on Roto Grinders. If you want to talk about the early slate, then we always can.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, you're gonna get asked questions about this slate. it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. So let's get into the 7-game slate for Wednesday night. We get started at Baltimore, Houston, Baltimore, 10.5 total here. Houston's a 200 favorite. Jose Urquidy against Thomas Eshman. Any interest here in Urquidy?
I don't mind it. This slate for pitching is pretty weak. Do I want to pay $8,100 for him? Probably not, but I'm not necessarily scared of the Orioles. Urquidy is kind of a Jekyll and Hyde type of pitcher. Either he's pretty good, not the highest of strikeouts, or he could give up two or three home runs in a game. So going into tomorrow, my thoughts are I'll play Urquidy more, or Kite, however you pronounce his name, more likely the less owned that he is. And then the more owned that he is, the more I'd be thinking about playing the Orioles bats.
Fair enough. I definitely think he's in play here at 8,100. You know, we're kind of looking at the slate overall and we're like, all right, well, when we're looking at pitchers on this slate, it's not like, I mean, to me, there isn't like a standout guy. Maybe Robbie Ray against the Marlins. Maybe. But there's not like a standout guy. I think in this price range, Kepperlin's going to be pretty popular going up against Texas. We'll have to kind of see what pans out ownership wise. But I mean, I don't have an issue taking some shots on your Kite here. And then Eshelman on the other side. I mean, this is a guy that only threw 57 pitches last time out. Any interest in him here at 5,100 going up against Houston?
Yeah, going up against the team with the 5.9 implied run total. I don't think so.
Yeah, low strikeout team. Yeah, Houston bats, they set up to be like the top stack on the slate, but they're going to be pretty popular here. The only thing that might keep the ownership down a little bit is price, but I mean, there's still a couple of these bats that are still cheap that you can make this stack work.
Right. You have Toro in there at third base because Bregman's out. He's 2,400 on DraftKings. Kyle Tucker may be back, and he's 3,900. So if he's back, even if he bats like at the bottom of the order with like seventh or something at 3,900, you can make the stack work. But I mean, like Brantley's 4,100. He's reasonable. Altuve's at second base, which is a weaker position. If Correa's back in the lineup, weaker position at shortstop at 5K. So, I mean, maybe Gurriel's a little bit overpriced at 4,800. And you got Alvarez at 5,000. I mean, but they have the highest implied total on the entire slate. They're going to be the chalk. And just a matter of, like, if you're going to play them, I'm more likely to try to get weird. You know, play a Miles Straw. I mean, I think the chalk stack combination will be something like Altuve, Correa, Tucker, Maldonado, Toro, or something like that. Something like that, or maybe Alvarez in there, or something. Right, keep it cheap enough so you could pay up for a 9K plus pitcher. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just how much you play of them really is dictated by ownership.
Baltimore side, anything standing out to you for the Baltimore bats here?
Well, if Santander's back in the lineup, he's 3,100. I'm not scared of Urquidy. If Galvis is batting second at 3,000, like that's why I look at the Orioles and go, like, the more that Urquidy is owned, I could play the Orioles. I mean, Mullins 4,600. I don't know. Mountcastle 4,100. DJ Stewart, lefty, is 2,500. Franco 3,300. I mean, it's affordable. If I want to pay up at pitching, I don't mind using the Orioles as kind of a vomit-like type of stack, especially if we're going to get, like, on DraftKings, we have to play two pitchers. Like, on FanDuel, maybe Urquidy won't be much owned, but we have to play two pitchers, and it's going to be tough to play two pitchers. If he's 20-plus percent owned, the interest in the Orioles stack goes up.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a reverse splits pitcher. So like Mancini, Mountcastle, Hayes, all make a lot of sense here. The power righties, you know, obviously Mancini's just so expensive, but I feel like if you're going to play the leverage game, then you're not really worried about price. You're just going to play what you feel kind of works as far as that leverage stack. So I think it's more of like a secondary or targeting like a two man. But yeah, I think Baltimore's in play. We'll have to kind of see what the ownership looks like. Moving on, we got Kansas City going into New York. The Yankees, 9.5 total here. Yankees a 163 favorite. Danny Duffy, Michael King. Any interest here in Danny Duffy?
Against the Yankees at Yankee Stadium, probably not.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched in over a month, and they have come out and said that like he's going to have a pitch count, but they're not going to tell us what it is. So I think at 8,500 against the Yankees, we're going to pass here. Maybe we get the pitch count by a beat reporter or something, but I mean, if he's going to be on a pitch count of 8,500, I don't see how we can use him, Lindner.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if there's a pitch, I mean, you at 8,500, you want 100 pitches, and pitch count is going to, if he's pitching 100 pitches, that means that he has no pitch count, right? And Mike King on the other side, I mean, how long is he going to pitch? I mean, that's going to be pretty much be a Yankees bullpen game also, right?
Yeah, I mean, he could probably, I think he maxes out like 70 pitches, like max five innings type of thing.
Right, so he's unplayable at 7,100. To me, this game is more appealing for the bats, and I prefer the Royals side over the Yankees because the Yankees are expensive. They're not expensive on FanDuel. FanDuel, they'll be chalky, but the Royals, I could fit some people in with a 2K Ryan O'Hearn batting cleanup.
Yeah, I mean. The problem is, like, if he does get to that, like, five-inning mark and doesn't get rocked, the back end of the bullpen is so good. So, I mean, sure, I don't mind taking them cheap bats, but I don't see myself using, like, Whit Merrifield or Salvador Perez over 5K, knowing that, like, they're losing in that bat in the bottom part of this lineup.
Well, I mean, you could do a mini bottom of the order. You could do Soler at 3,600, O'Hearn 2,000, 4,500, Dozier 2,800, Michael Taylor 2,000, and you fill your catcher position with Sal Perez because who cares? You pay 5,100, and you'll get a scarce position. I mean, that stack is pretty cheap, and you could still get like two 9K, 10K pitchers. I mean, are they going to be owned? I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming one of these guys. I think O'Hearn may end up becoming kind of a. I mean, well, we'll get to the other value play. I mean. We already know who the highest owned player on this slate is going to be, especially after his game today and DraftKings just not realizing that that he was called up, I guess, or he exists as the top prospect in the major leagues.
He hits, man. He hits. And he didn't disappoint.
I'm saying that only because I think when you use Wander Franco in your shortstop spot at 2K, I'm not sure if you're going to need a Ryan O'Hearn for 2K also in your first base spot.
Right on. Finally, the Cubs are hitting the ball. There we go. The Yankee side of things, I think the Yankee stack is kind of juicy here. Like, I think Houston's going to be the team that a lot of people are going to stack when they're paying up. And, I mean, I don't expect Duffy to go more than like 70, 80 pitches in this spot. So, I think the Yankee stack, they're expensive. But they don't have a shortstop either. So it kind of, I mean, I guess you could play Torres, but Wander Franco at 2K with some Yankees. Here we come.
You could do it. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, just that Judge and Stanton are expensive. Voit is cheaper now, 4K, right? Yep. They're like I said before, FanDuel, it's like night and day. Like Judge is 3,600, Stanton's 3,400, then all the other guys. Sanchez is 29. Torres is like 26. I mean, you could fit the Yankee stack easily on FanDuel. The problem with on DraftKings is that, you know, if you're going to play Judge and Stanton in your stack, essentially you're not playing the Astros. But that may be the move to good. That may be the contrarian way to go.
All right, moving on. We got Toronto at Miami. Robbie Ray against Trevor Rogers in this one. There wasn't a total out for this one.
I don't think Robbie Ray is confirmed as the starter. Cause I mean, we have Steven Matz, maybe he starts, but I mean, I think that may be the reason why there's no line out. I mean, FanDuel and DraftKings have Robbie Ray as the listed starter, but I don't think it's official.
There's a couple books that have it at 7.5. Toronto's a slight favorite, so that's probably more of they think Robbie Ray is going to pitch. If it is Robbie Ray, do you have any interest here in Robbie Ray?
And 9,200 against the Marlins, why not? Right? This is classic Robbie Ray spot, right? This is the classic. I always got the cheese. I owe that one thing from the morning grind and from Roto Grinders content that I remember from when I started playing MLB DFS, is that Robbie Ray when he's chalk? Like,
fade.
Right. But Robbie Ray has looked, I mean, he's
been great this season.
Right. But... he's been great. And I'm not scared of this Miami lineup. They're playing in Miami. I think Robbie Ray is going to, if I'm assuming he's the starter at 9,200 on DraftKings, I think he's going to be the chalkiest pitcher on the slate.
Yeah. I'm pulling up Baseball 7 really quick and just kind of looking to see like if his spin rate was down a little bit in that last start. How are you? You're more of a game theory person. How have you approached like this whole sticky stuff situation? Like I've looked anytime I've been like interested in a pitcher, I've looked at their like recent starts because they started to crack down on this a couple weeks ago, but now they're like checking these pitchers and stuff. Like
they're stopping frisking them. You see them coming off the field.
Do you see Scherzer? He looked like he was going to walk across the field.
Looks like they should put metal detectors or something. It's just like, it's like TSA every time the pitcher leaves the mound.
Yeah, he was Max Scherzer. Like he was a little scary, but I mean, how are you kind of approaching it?
I approach it the same way. Anything with small sample sizes that can't necessarily be reflected well in projections, I view it the same way I do with anything in game theory. Do whatever the field is overcompensating for. So, for instance, if people are like, I can't play when Shane Bieber comes back, right? And if people are like, well, I'm afraid to play him because of the sticky stuff, whatever the hell, maybe the spin rate's down or whatever. And he's 8%. I'm like, well, now I'm going to play him. But if like the field is like, nope, we're going to treat him like Shane Bieber at 11K, like he normally is. And he's going to be 34%. Then I go the other way. And then I say, well, who knows? It's just maybe it really is going to affect him. So to me, the field dictates how I treat those small sample sizes rather than what because you can't project it. Yeah. Even the spin rate's down. They could still throw 9 strikeouts. It's noise until there's enough of a sample size, but the more people point out like, oh, Cole's spin rate is down. It's like, it makes me want to play more as the ownership goes down because maybe people are overreacting. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Right. We'll find out a month or two now when things normalize and you're like, oh yeah, maybe we should be, you know, the docking some of these pitchers, you know, 8 or 10%, and then the ownership becomes efficient, and then you wait from there.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't look like much has changed for him, so I'm not concerned. But I mean, if he's going to be chalk, I'm out. If he's not going to be chalk, I mean, he put up 28 against this team not too long ago, and 9 strikeouts. You know, pitched really well against them. This game's in Miami. He sets up as one of the better pitchers on the slate, and I completely like get the ownership, but I mean, I'm going to let the ownership kind of dictate what I want to do with him today. I think he's a great play, but I hate playing chalky Robbie Ray. And I've said this for years. So the other side, I mean, Trevor Rogers has been fantastic this season. Like he's definitely one of those young guys that, you know, definitely has some stuff, but he's 9,800 going up against a lineup that the top 6 guys, these righties they're legit like big time hitters. Do you have any interest here in Rogers at all?
If he's going to be lower owned, sure. I mean, I may take a shot. I'm not even sure how owned the Blue Jays are going to be because they're expensive playing in Miami. The only concern I always have with Rogers is that he doesn't really go past 100 pitches. So if the Blue Jays give him any bit of trouble, like, I don't know about that. Like he's someone that I would probably not play on FanDuel, being concerned because on FanDuel, I need to play pitchers that'll pitch 6 innings because you want that quality start, you know, 4 points for that. And that's my only concern with Rogers, that even if he does decently, if he does well against the Blue Jays, I think the Blue Jays give him enough of a hard time that, yeah, he gives up 2 runs. He still has 8 strikeouts, but he only lasts 5 innings, right? And maybe he doesn't even qualify for the win because Ray is on the other side and Rogers only gave up 2 runs with 8 strikeouts, but the Marlins still have 0. So even the win equity goes down. And at 9,800, I need that seal.
I mean, there's plenty of strikeouts in this lineup. So if you want to play him in large field tournaments, like I'm not going to talk you off of it because he is going to be low owned at this price, in my opinion. Bats in this game, anything here for Toronto that you like?
They're expensive. Bichette, 6,000, Vlad 6,300. Maybe it's warranted. Springer's 3,700. I think I could play him against the lefty. Like I have no problem that it's in Miami. So I think Springer may be popular on DraftKings. I'm not sure what his price on FanDuel is, but it seems like the pricing people at FanDuel have like fell asleep this week. So these guys that come back from the IL or up from the minors, they don't bump them up that much. So, and I could see myself playing, even if you want to punt the catcher, which I'm not even sure you're going to need to on DraftKings, like in cash games, like Riley Adams sitting there at 2,300, and you could do worse.
Yeah. I mean, my favorite guy from him is probably Teoscar Hernandez. This guy's crushing left-handed pitching this season. And like you mentioned, Springer. All right, well, now I throw in like an expensive Vlad, and like the stack's not too crazy for like a three-man stack as far as pricing goes. So Miami bats, I mean, if Robbie Ray is going to be chalk, maybe we look at like a Duvall, Aguilar, Marte type of like it would create massive leverage.
This is a perfect opportunity that I'm viewing the Marlins the same way I'm viewing the Orioles, depending on Urquidy's ownership. I have a Jorge Alfaro jersey in my closet. Okay. Because whenever I win a large field GPP, I buy the jersey of the lowest owned player. Maybe tomorrow is the day that I have to get another one.
Would you get the same color or would you get a different color?
I think I got the road jersey because I don't necessarily like the Marlins home jersey. It's not like I wear these. I mean, I just buy whatever, But I mean, since I typically fill a catcher in my stacks, right? So Alfaro's there. But yeah, if Ray's going to be like 40% owned or whatever, like you can't
talk
me off of a Marlin stack.
The things we do. And like, even if it's Steven Matz, it's kind of the same thing. If he's going to be popular, you look at the right-handed power guys. So whoever the pitcher is for Toronto, I think you look at the righties against them. I buy NASCAR diecasts and I buy bobbleheads for baseball for big wins. So
what bobbleheads do you have?
I have a Buster Posey bobblehead.
But do you do like I do? Because I get the lowest owned player, and
it I'm is sure well. It, it, I think. I think the one night that Buster Posey, he hit like two or three home runs one night. I can't remember exactly. It was like 2015 or 2016. And like, so I like bought the bobblehead for him. I have a Chris Archer where he like was, I think he was like 3% owned. So like, obviously he was low owned. I'm looking up there. I have a Jacob DeGrom one. I have a bunch. Acuna, that's probably more recent.
Yeah, it's very unlikely that I'll ever get a Jacob DeGrom jersey. That Jacob DeGrom.
I have a Jacob DeGrom. I have a couple of those. So, he's a local man. Like, you got to support the local guys. All right, moving on. Speaking of the Mets, we got Atlanta going up against New York. There's no total in this game because it's still kind of iffy who's going to pitch here. For the Mets, it sounds like it's going to be Peterson. It can't be Peterson. Peterson just pitched, so it's not Peterson. He would be on 4 days rest. That doesn't make any sense. So we have no idea who's going to pitch here for the Mets. I mean, Kyle Wright's pitching for Atlanta. Kyle Wright in New York against the Mets. Any interest in him?
I mean, you want to play him maybe for the matchup, but Kyle Wright is horrible. Like, just at 7,400, he seems like the type of pitcher that, why isn't he 6,000? Like, I'll play him for that. But, this Mets lineup's getting a little bit healthier. Conforto's back. I mean, I don't know if he's going to start tomorrow and be in the starting lineup. McNeil is back. So the Mets may not be as much of a pushover as they've been the past couple of weeks.
Yeah, I have no idea. I was just kind of looking through the Mets, like,
bullpen game? Because, I mean, Lucchese is getting Tommy
John
surgery.
But they just used a bullpen game because, what's his name, Stroman. Didn't he get, like, hurt really early in the game?
Yeah, he got hurt, right?
So they just, man, if you get a bullpen game here, I bet you they call somebody up and they just throw like a double A or triple A arm at the Braves here.
Maybe they just throw out DeGrom for three innings at a time every game.
Yeah. They only let him go 70 the other day. Maybe he has another 50 in him. Who knows?
Maybe he just pitches 40 pitches and he literally starts every game.
All right. Yeah, we have no idea. I think the Braves bats are obviously in play. Because I don't know if it's going to be like a quality arm at all. I mean, it's not the greatest ballpark in the, you know, the Mets stadium, but I mean, I think the Braves are definitely in play here.
Sure. I mean, you can make the stack work. I mean, Acuna and Freeman are expensive, but Almonte batting cleanup, which just, it sounds like a sentence I should never be saying. Abraham Almonte is the Braves cleanup hitter. But the bottom, the Swanson, Riley, Contreras, they're all under 4K. It's doable. But like you said, I'm not a big fan of stacking teams at Citi Field, regardless of who's pitching. But I don't think many people will anyway. So,
right.
You know, in comparison to the ownership, maybe it is worth doing.
I think they'll be much lower owned than the Astros and the Yankees at the same kind of price range. So that's what makes them appealing. And as far as the Mets bats go, I mean, Pete Alonso's good. The rest of this lineup kind of stinks. Jonathan Villar is banged up now as well. Didn't they say that like Conforto is really close? They said he might be back for this game.
Yeah, well, I think he was back today. Just he wasn't in the starting lineup. He was activated.
They didn't activate him.
Right. But I mean, I think McNeil lead, if he leads off at second base, I think like he's like a cash play. Like if you need like on FanDuel, he's 2,500 on DraftKings, he's 3,000. If you don't play Altuve at second base, I think you're probably paying down for McNeil. But I don't like stacking teams at Citi Field, and like the Mets aren't even that good of a team. So why would I really be stacking them? Depending on, and like with Kyle Wright pitching, you know, I'll take a power lefties, right? Dominic Smith, Conforto, McKinney's 2,700, you know, like, but I don't see myself playing five of these guys in a lineup.
So I was reading a thing why Conforto wasn't activated is because they had like the COVID stuff happen with Syracuse, their Triple A team. So like we might like legitimately get like a Double A pitcher for the Mets today. So
he may still be better than most of the pitchers they have.
Hey, moving on. We got Boston at Tampa facing off in this one. Boston, Tampa. This game has an 8.5 total. Tampa's a 142 favorite. Garrett Richards, Rich Hill. Any interest here in Garrett Richards?
It's a pitcher against the Rays. I mean, I don't. The Rays strike out. It's a good ballpark for pitchers. The problem is Garrett Richards sucks. But I mean, he could eat innings. So if I'm going to pay down for any pitcher on this slate, it's going to be I know it's weird to say, I think it's going to be him, especially when the bats on the other side of this game may be slightly more popular than they should be as a stack. There'll be one extremely popular guy, but I think that popular guy will make the stack more owned. And then I get a little bit more leverage, but I mean, I don't like any of the cheap pitchers on this slate, but I don't think anyone else likes the cheap pitchers on this slate. So I know I can make a different roster construction. Like who's going to be able to stack like the Braves and the Blue Jays together? Like no one, you have to play Garrett Richards, right? You have to play someone like that. So I would look to more lineups that have that type of construction, but it's not because I like Garrett Richards at all.
Oh, as a Red Sox fan, I agree with you 100%. Garrett Richards stinks. But I mean, any pitcher against Tampa has upside because this team strikes out so much. And this game's in Tampa, so maybe a couple of his balls that are like fly balls turn into like warning track power. I want to see the umpire in this game too, because Garrett Richards has been struggling with command and walks. So I think if he gets like a good umpire, that helps. But I get your point. Like if you're going to pay down, why not take a guy that's facing an offense that strikes out a lot? And Rich Hill on the other side, any interest here in Rich Hill?
I pretty much never play Rich Hill. And maybe two or three times a year. Now, well, so far, two or three times since the beginning of the season, he kills me. But they don't pitch him long enough. I mean, like, he's liable to come out early no matter what. And it's not, I mean, but last year, with the blisters and anything. I mean, I think he's a good pitcher. I mean, I like him as a pitcher. At 8,700, it's just like, if he was 6,200, yeah, I don't mind, but he's had some good games where he's gotten seven innings, but still seven innings on like 92 pitches. So like he has to be extra efficient to hit his ceiling, and he tends to be overowned. So like to me, Rich, people may do that. People may look and go Red Sox at the Trop, Rich Hill. They'll look at the game logs. They'll look at the other pitchers on the slate, and they go, why not play Rich Hill as, you know, SP2 or something? And you could still afford other bats. Even on FanDuel with one pitcher sites, I'll just fade Rich Hill as I always do. Like, especially on FanDuel where you need six innings for the quality start. Just like if he burns me today, then so be it. And two or three times this season already, he's put up like 50 plus points on FanDuel. But I just chalk it up as okay. Well, I don't have any. And then you could still have another pitcher that does well also. So it's not like you need him. So like I'm just more willing. Any guys like the Trevor Rogers, like these guys that these managers don't let him pitch into the triple digits. Like just I ain't gonna pay those prices for him.
I mean, I got my one Rich Hill call out of the way this year, Kansas City earlier this year. Will called me crazy. He pitched a gem. I tried to follow it up, I think, against Texas a couple times later than that. And, like, he pitched good against Texas, but like you said, he threw 59 pitches in a game that he was pitching really well. So, I mean, the Red Sox lineup, they don't strike out against lefties. The middle of this order is tough against lefties. This is a bad spot for Rich Hill anyway. So, I mean, this is an easy pass for me on Rich Hill, especially at this price. Do you have any interest here in the Red Sox bats?
I mean, they're a little overpriced for being at Tampa Bay. You could always make the case for, you know, a JD Martinez or a Bogarts or a Renfro as like one-offs, but outside of that, not really.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you get Martinez against the lefty or Renfro or Kiki Hernandez at these prices, I could definitely see using like a secondary stack. Especially like Vasquez at 3,400. He's probably my favorite catcher play on the slate. I don't mind looking at some of these cheaper bets, but yeah, I mean, I don't like the lineup that they ran out there on Tuesday. Like they had Verdugo and Santana batting at the top. I want the better lineup spots for some of these righties. So we'll see what the lineup looks like. Any interest in the Tampa bats?
Let me give people advice for people that play cash games on DraftKings. Okay, let me just give you a little bit of advice for contest selection purposes, not lineup selection. Once this game locks at 7:10 Eastern time, if you find any of your opponents that don't have Wander Franco at 2K in their shortstop spot, write them down, a little post-it note, and find their contests as often as possible.
Yeah, he's not like, okay, I don't think it has anything to do, like he is top prospect in baseball and like obviously there's been a lot of hype around him and everything and he hit a home run in his first game, but how many like does it matter who it is at 2K when you got a shortstop?
Of course it matters who it is at 2K. Wander Franco at by the end of the season is going to be like a $5,000 shortstop. I mean, yeah. like that's it's a mispriced play. I mean, it's just a mispriced player because he's a prospect and the people at DK just don't pay attention. Like if Wander Franco was 3,200, he'd still be the chalkiest shortstop on this slate. If he was 4,000, he still would be the chalkiest shortstop on the slate. And then, but at least then I'd be like, okay, he's not like a necessity, but I mean, he'd still be the top one. And then once he gets up to 4,500, be like, okay, he's okay. I mean, like, but at 2K, On a slate where you're looking for value in cash games, like
I get it the first day it gets called up because that stuff happens, but like that was announced the day before too, and like all right, well day two, like at least make him like 4K. I don't know. I hate
just didn't pay attention. I mean, he was high, he was the highest owned player in cash games on DraftKings.
He was really popular in tournaments too.
Right. Well, of course, he was 22% owned on a 14 game slate.
Yep.
After a game with a home run and a double, and if he's batting in the top half of the order, I mean, like for GPPs, I could absolutely, and GPPs on DraftKings on a 7-game slate, it's quite possible. I'm going to be playing on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, I would literally X him out as a one-off. Just literally, just Because if he scores, what, 9 points, that doesn't kill me anyways, right? So, like, but in cash games, it's just like if he's 97% owned in cash games, find the 3% of people and go, where are their head-to-heads?
All right. Outside of him, anything else here for Tampa?
Well, I mean, I think the stack may be a little bit popular because once you plug in him in the shortstop spot, it makes the stack so much cheaper. You could play Meadows, you know, like a Brandt, like the stack would be kind of, and you could throw in a Kiermaier at 2K also. And you could kind of make the stack of like Lowe, Choi, Meadows, Franco, Kiermaier. And you still have plenty of money for like $19,000 at starting pitching and a good secondary. That's why I said before with the Garrett Richards thing is that I don't know if I don't know how much ownership Richards is going to get, but I think the Rays stack as a whole, because of that really chalky Wander Franco, is going to be just a little over owned for as a stack. Doesn't mean one or two of them can't get there, but will the five man get there? I'm not sure.
Sorry, I was dying. Coughing. All right, let's move on. Oakland at Texas. Kaepernick against Fulton Nevich. This game currently sitting at a 9 total. Oakland's a 155 favorite. Any interest here in Kaepernick?
He's on my list of I just don't play, and if he burns me, he burns me. His underlying metrics aren't good. He's Houdini or something. I don't think he's a good pitcher. And the more people play him, the more I want to stack against him. And if he gets there at 8,400, then so be it. I do it the next. I did it with Plutko for an entire year, and I eventually got him. So at some point, now whenever I see Caprellian on a slate, especially they're playing in Texas and not in Oakland, like I'll just press that X button and start stacking the Rangers. I know you like him, Steve.
He has such an above average slider. He just doesn't have like his underlining numbers are bad because he doesn't have an out pitch against lefties. And like, if you look at his numbers against righties, they're outside of like the massive fly ball rate.
You're making the case for me outside of his fact that he can't strike anyone out and he has a massive fly ball rate. I love him.
No, I said lefties. I said he can't get lefties.
Yeah,
he
has 30... yet, and there's going to be like five of them in the Rangers lineup given to me, all five of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think it all depends on what lineup the Rangers roll out. If they do roll out that left-handed heavy lineup, which they know and love, then sure, you know, maybe you're stacking against them. But if they roll out five or six righties, I have a ton of interest, especially with like the strikeout rates of some of these lefties with Gallo and stuff. So I think it all depends on just what lineup we get here for Texas. I think Kaepernick also depends on ownership because he's a favorite. They're playing Texas. People love playing pitchers against Texas. I think it's a good spot, but I think there's a lot to kind of factor in when looking at him in this spot. Any interest in Fulton Nevich on the other side?
He's a better pitcher than people think he is, but he's still a pretty bad pitcher. I think the A's are going to be chalky after the Astros on DraftKings because they're cheap enough. If Kemp leads off, that'll make them even easier to stack. I think they'll have like the second highest implied total anyway. They did well today, or they're doing well tonight, or whatever. So that just increases my interest. If I, like I said before on DraftKings, if I was playing on DraftKings, which I'm convincing myself that I should make 50 lineups at DraftKings the way I'm talking. I would be looking for the up and down build, which is to play high price pitcher, low price pitcher, expensive stack that isn't the Astros or the A's. And in order to go up and down, like you need some cheap pitcher. And I mentioned Garrett Richards before. Well, why not Fulton Nevich, especially if the A's are going to be popular? Because if you're not playing the A's stack, the direct negative correlation to that, because if the A's go off at 10 runs, you lost, right? It doesn't matter who you stack. It didn't matter at that point. So as the A's do badly, Fulton Nevich probably does well enough. Can he give you 14 points? Fine. Maybe I can get it there. So to me, that's the only, he's a better pitcher. He's not as bad. He's in that level of like Jorge Lopez. right? This last slate with against the, you know, the Astros, like people like stack against him. And it's like, he's not a good pitcher, but he's not as bad as people think. He's not Matt Harvey. Matt Harvey actually is bad. And Fulton Evans is probably a better pitcher than Garrett Richards, right? Truthfully. But he does, he has the tendency of just getting into trouble. Like if he doesn't get into trouble, he's fine, but he just somehow every other inning just finds a way to just create jams for himself. But if he doesn't at 5,500, I mean, at what, 5% ownership or less or something, I don't mind taking a shot.
I mean, the one thing that he has going for him here is like they're going to have righties in this lineup. You know, they can't go full left-handed lineup. Kana's going to be in there. Chapman's going to be in there. Laureano might be in there. Andrus might be in there. So, I mean, he's really bad against lefties. And, I mean, sure, that's the argument I have. But, I mean, I like the Oakland lefties here. I do. I know they're going to be popular. Olsen, obviously. But, like, they're so cheap. Jed Lowry's cheap. Mitch Moreland's cheap. Tony Kemp is cheap. I think Oakland, some of these cheap bats is just a way, like maybe I don't play Franco and I play some of these Oakland bats to make my cheap line, my cheap hitters a little bit less obvious, I guess. Seth Brown, like hopefully he cracks the lineup.
Right. Well, the problem with stacking if Moreland's in is that on DraftKings, they're both first base eligible with Olsen.
Good. Then so you don't play you Olsen.
Yeah. Right. So don't play. Right. There you go. So don't play Olds, who most likely is like the number one target that you'd play against Fulton Evans, right? I mean,
yeah, he's the best. Don't play the best hitter against this bad pitcher. Yeah, I mean, listen, Olsen's the best spot. Like, he's in the best spot here. You know, all joking aside, he's the guy that you're probably looking at if you're playing Oakland. But, yeah, to get different, you can – if Moreland's in there, you could definitely go Moreland. Any interest in Texas?
Well, like I said, leverage stack, right? Caprellian, even if it's not a leverage stack, screw it. I stack against Caprellian every I'm going to donate some lineups every time to this guy. Brock Holt. I don't care that he barely has any power, whatever. 3,200 is a lefty. Give it to me. Gallo, 4,200. Give it to me. Nate Lowe has been absolutely trash this season. Like absolutely and unequivocally trash. I don't care. 4,400 overpriced, given to me. Willie Calhoun, don't care. Jonah Heim, he's a switch hitter. That means he'll be on the left side. Given to me at 2,400 in my catcher spot, right? Maybe I don't play Kiner Falefa. Ibanez is cheap at 2,300. Throw him in, right? Most likely the Rangers only score one run, but whatever. Like I'm just every time Caprellian's on the slate, I will be playing him until he gets injured.
All right, fair enough. all right, moving on. We finish it out here. Last game on the slate, we got the Dodgers and the Padres, 7 total. Pick 'em game. Any interest here in Trevor Bauer?
But why? Of course, you have interest in Trevor Bauer. He's the best raw. He's the best raw talent pitcher on the slate, regardless of the sticky stuff or whatever's going on. I mean, he's still the best pitcher on the slate. And on the other side, Musgrove, the two best pitchers, maybe outside of maybe Ray, the two best pitchers in actual talent are in this game. And I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people just play both of them.
The two best pitchers against two of the best lineups. Because I'm pretty sure the Dodgers get Bellinger back today. And I know Seager's close, but I don't think he'll be back for this game. Yeah, so he's going to rehab Monday. So, I mean, they're getting Bellinger back. You know, they got Muncy back. I don't know. Like, I like Bauer, without a doubt. I'm not worried about the sticky stuff for him either. Like, he has been very vocal about it. But, I mean, he just came out and threw 115 pitches last time. And that's what you want out of a guy that's going to be 10-5. Give me 115 pitches without sticky stuff over a guy that might throw 80 pitches without it. You know, give me Bauer here. So as far as Musgrove goes, I like Bauer a lot more than I like Musgrove. I don't think I play Musgrove here.
I think I much prefer playing Robbie Ray than Joe Musgrove, but that decision is going to be dictated to me by the field. Like, are people going to get scared off of Musgrove because he's facing a now much more healthy Dodgers lineup. Well, I mean, that if he's on a 7-game slate, if he ends up being 12% owned, like that's just it's too low. If people are like, oh, I don't care, we're going to treat the Dodgers like they have been the past 2 weeks, and he ends up being 28, 30% owned, then I agree with you. Now I start looking at the Dodgers bats. So really, to me, the Musgrove situation is what the ownership difference between Musgrove, Gray, like the guys in that range, even Urquidy at 8,100, like what are the differences between these ownerships? Because I'm not playing Caprellian in that range, so you know that already. And then,
what if he's 5% owned?
Musgrove?
No, Caprellian.
I don't play him, Stevie. I don't even play him if you're the only one that owns him in the entire contest.
Hey, listen, I would be super happy with that. Let that happen. All right. Bats in this game. Anything here for the Dodgers?
Well, yeah, Bellinger at 4,300. Give it to me.
I kind of like the Dodgers stack.
They're expensive.
And they're super. Wow. Nobody's going to play him, though. Nobody's going to play them. Like when you have the Yankees and the Astros and like even Oakland, nobody is playing the Dodgers today.
How do you, I mean, and see the Dodgers fit perfectly with Wander Franco because there's no, you don't play Gavin Lux and Betts, Muncy, Turner, Bellinger, Smith fills second base, third base. You still get to play a first baseman from some other team. You may be right. You could fit in like Wander Franco and you play like Kevin Kiermaier, like, so you have like a two man from the, and they're both 2K. You could play the Dodgers as a five man and still have like you play Bauer for correlation and you play like, you can't play Garrett Richards. That's the lineup you play Foltynewicz in, right? Because you're going against Oakland five mans with that type of construction. No, I think you make a good point. I mean, and I can't see that five man combination for the Dodgers, like being anything more than like 3% owned.
They're not going to be popular at all. Especially in like the contests I play a lot of like single entry and three entry max. Nobody's playing the Dodgers in those contests today.
Well, maybe I need to play the, no, your problem is you're going to play the Dodgers with Caprellian and you're going to get killed.
I don't know if you can.
The Dodgers and the Rangers together. There you go. That's what you did.
No, I might end up on like the Dodgers and like your Keidy or Kyle Wright. Because I think that's the kind of prices you're going to need for your SP2. Any interest in the Padres bats here?
It just, I don't care what his price is, but Fernando Tatis is always in, like, just he's like the one guy like in the entire league that like if he's ever single digit owned, like he's always in play. It doesn't matter. I said on Crunch Time tonight that if he's facing Bob Gibson, Sandy Koufax, and Pedro Martinez combined, and he's like 8K at shortstop on DraftKings, and he's 2% owned, he's under-owned still. He's still under-owned for that situation. I'm not saying that he's probably not going to be that popular, especially on DraftKings where Wander Franco is 2K. So if you get my drift of everyone's playing Franco, you overpay for Tatis against the probably who Bauer's going to be chalky. Like that's like double leverage city type of thing. Now, is it something that you need to do? No, but I'm just explaining the concept of like people are going to be playing Bauer and Franco lineups together. They're going to be highly correlated, Bauer and Franco. The complete opposite is Tatis and Garrett Richards, right? The Red Sox pitcher and the guy and the batter against the Dodgers. I'm getting excited for this. I need to play on DraftKings tomorrow. I originally wasn't because the bat flip is like $18. And I'm like, how many lineups can I put into that for that price versus FanDuel? But now I feel like if I don't make lineups and Caprellian gets blown up and then like Tatis hits three home runs or something like that, like
you're never going to forgive yourself.
No, I would forgive myself, but I mean, it would be hard.
All right, let's play the morning grind game and then we'll get out of here. Under 8K to get six or more strikeouts. Who do you got today?
Under 8K. Oh, you saved. Caprellian saved himself because he's not under 8K.
Well, if you want to give him to me, I'll gladly take him.
My next draw. Right, I always forget these questions. Screw it. I'll go with Garrett Richards.
I'll take Kyle Wright. Over 8K to score under 15. We all know it's going to be Kaepernick.
Yes, that's right.
I'm going to go Joe Musgrove. I think the Dodgers are going to put it on him today. Over 4K to hit a home run. Who do you got?
Over 4K to hit a home run. I mean, the easy answer, I think, is Matt Olson. I'll go with the chalk. Jordan Alvarez.
All right, I like it. I'm going to go Max Muncy. You're going to see a theme. Under 4K to get two hits, and you can't pick Franco.
Oh, I call
him. I'm the host. I can do whatever I want.
Right. So under 4K?
Yep.
Under 4K.
He's like, I get to go first. I'm just going to take Wander Franco. Not today.
Under 4K to hit, what, two hits or whatever? Under
yep, 4K. Two hits.
There's not many people under 4K. Give me George Springer.
All right, I like that one. That's a good one. I'm gonna take Christian Vasquez, catcher. Stacked score six or more runs.
I'm doubling down the Rangers.
I'm gonna double down and say the Dodgers. So here we go. Any bets standing out to you night before, or do you have one for us today?
Whatever the strikeout prop for Caprelli, and bet the under. I don't care what the price is. -7,000. I don't care what it is.
All right, I'm gonna go Dodgers minus. I think it's like 106 right now. Some books you can even get them as like +100. So, even odds on the Dodgers seems juicy here. So. Again, I like the Dodgers a lot more than I probably should, but I mean, it kind of makes a lot of sense. And I think the guy that you could potentially pair with Franco in a Dodger sack is like G-Man Choi against Richards.
But he's 4,200. Kiermaier's 2,000.
Oh, you get two 2K guys. I see what you're trying to do. All right. On that note, we're going to get out of here so you guys can play your 2K guys. We'll be back tomorrow, talking some more baseball. Good luck, everyone. We'll see you then.